make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seeds, it makes me wanna cry for the children.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for October 9th, 2020.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
This Pope's first encyclical was about climate change, which was both criticized and praised by U.S. cardinals. Our guests are from a variety of backgrounds and experiences. Now, a discussion of what was in that document.
And we have a panel of people with a very wide amount of experience and points of view, and I can't wait for the discussion. And I want to give special thanks to Nancy Lawrence for helping me put this show together. Couldn't have done it without her. So now I'll let you folks introduce yourselves so you have voices to go with the names.
Marion Ronan, Theological Seminary, which is a Black, Hispanic, and Korean seminary on the Upper West Side. And I'm a Catholic feminist theologian for 40 years.
My name is Corian Willinger. I am one of the people who have not associated with any religion. I am a member of the Raging Grannies and have been for a number of years. I am also a member of the Granny Peace Brigade, and the Raging Grannies usually sing songs which we make up the words and use familiar melodies with a political slant, and we try to satirize what is happening to the world today. Unfortunately, some of it is beyond satirization. The Granny Peace Brigade is an activist group that volunteers and marches in the marches.
Hi, I'm Donna Scopper. I'm the senior minister at Judson Memorial Church downtown, and I'm just crazy about the Pope. And so I'm here as a Protestant to say something to the effect of, is the Pope Protestant? The last time I said that to somebody, they said to me, what, go get your own damn Pope, Donna, and stay away. So I'm an American Baptist and United Church of Christ clergywoman for 40 years.
And I'm Steve Knight. I'm with the Beloved Earth Community at the Riverside Church in Manhattan. I am also with 350 NYC. In 2013, I was a fellow with Green Faith, which is an interfaith religious environmental organization. With all three organizations, in addition to other things I've done with them, I'm very active in the fossil fuel divestment movement, both within religious institutions, the city of New York, and New York State.
So let's give a little rundown of what is in that encyclical. Mary, we'll start with you. What is an encyclical anyway?
It's a teaching letter from the Vatican, and it has a very high level of authority. It's not necessarily doctrinally infallible, but Catholics have a serious obligation to take seriously whatever is said in an encyclical.
What are some of the things that are in this one?
There are some very clear things. First of all, that climate change and environmental destruction is doing major harm to God's creation, and that human beings are primarily responsible for it, mostly by the use of fossil fuels and by an uncontrolled economy. And that the poor are the people who are hurt the most by environmental degradation, and that the poor and the earth are one in God's love and in our obligation to care for them.
Well, I'm certainly really impressed by this encyclical. By the way, I should say that I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Roman Catholic. Nevertheless, I love this encyclical. I've almost finished reading it. I intend to start over and read it again, which is something I've never done for some kind of letter like this. What I've really found here is that I'm most impressed by what they call the integral ecology of this document. I must say, sometimes I get a little frustrated when people talk about the environment or environmentalists, like we consider one issue in isolation from all the others. Mm-hmm. The Pope is determined here to see that the humane treatment of the earth must go hand in hand with the humane treatment of each other, that you can't have one without the other. So I'm really most impressed by that. That's just one thing, but that's one thing I'm impressed with.
This is Donna. I think the thing that impresses me the most is that it's the language of praise as opposed to the language of protest. And a man named Richard Rohr really had a profound effect on me when he said the real issue is not sacred, secular, or right or left, but sacralization of that which has been desacralized and needs to be resacralized. And when the Pope leads with St. Francis's love of animals and the earth, I just say alleluia.
He won me over with the first line.
Exactly, yes, exactly. And so, you know, I'm with you on protest. I adore the raging grannies. And I'm with you on saying that, you know, satire can be a good thing. But I think we're tired of protest and we're tired of talking about what we're against. We are for the earth and its beauty. So Laudate Si says to me, praise be.
And that comes from the pastor of the church that may have been the most supportive of Occupy Wall Street in the whole city.
Yes.
I asked Corinne here especially because I wanted an historical perspective, because movements come and go. You know, they'll get very, very big and then get very, very small. And I'm just wondering about events like this and what effect events like this, a pronouncement, whether it's a religious leader or a political leader, whatever, have on activism of any kind.
At this point, I can only give you my own personal feeling. And I think it's a wonderful thing that the Pope has done, because we've heard lately terrible things and bad news. And this is like almost an uplifting feeling that people need to get together, no matter what their beliefs are in terms of religion or not religion. But the important thing is to have a better life and a better world. And so I think this goes beyond religion, even though the Pope, of course, is one of the finest examples of religion.
It's a part of Catholic social teaching, which is what this encyclical is, that popes have addressed the whole world. Pope John the 23rd, the beloved pope of the Second Vatican Council, said in 1963 in Pacem in Terris that he was speaking to the entire world and not just to Catholics. Now, admittedly, there are 1.2 billion Catholics in the world. One out of every six persons on earth is a Catholic. But the Pope is going even beyond that and calling on everyone. And it's quite striking in the letter how often he refers to other world religions and to all people of goodwill. He's not by any means just talking to Catholics or just to Northerners. There was an article in the Boston Globe earlier in the week about the fact that 10% of the footnotes are from bishops' conferences, and most of them are in the Global South. This is unheard of in an encyclical. And this Pope is pointing out that the bishops in the Global South have the most to say because it's people in the Global South who are doing the most suffering. So it's by no means just white guys in Europe who are doing this.
Finally. Mm. I think they've had their chance. Mm-hmm. That was enough. that was plenty. I think that it's also so important for me to hear him speak. So one of my struggles, I'll back up, is that I despair that we don't have the leadership that we need to deal with climate. And what we're going to do is back into a horrifying authoritarian kinds of leadership, because it'll be one crisis after another.
Yes.
And then there'll be people say, well, you know, this is such a mess, I've got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And what I see in the Pope is an authoritative but not authoritarian leader. And I think we need somebody with authority to lead us, and also somebody's not running for the next office. You know, I think the fact that he said he's going to be limited in his term, it would be really, is going to be so exciting, because he's not in it for himself. So I like the fact that we might have a leader here, whether he's religious or not, whether he's the Pope or not. I've been fighting with the Pope and the Catholic Church forever on everything. And, you know, there are people who don't...
Not everything.
I have wondered why Catholics, who are one out of six, and who have this extraordinary international organization, multinational, and who really aren't all white by any stretch of the imagination. I've been wondering for a long time why they don't use the leadership they have. And all of a sudden, here comes my surprise. So...
Absolutely.
And it should certainly be pointed out here that the spirit of St. Francis, after whom this Pope took his name, is very much in this document. If I might just offer one brief quote, Francis talks in the encyclical about St. Francis. Quote, "If we approach nature and the environment without this openness to awe and wonder, if we no longer speak the language of fraternity and beauty in our relationship with the world, our attitude will be that of masters, consumers, ruthless exploiters, unable to set limits on their immediate needs. By contrast, if we feel intimately united with all that exists, then sobriety and care will well up spontaneously." I mean, I think that's put so beautifully about how much he owes to St. Francis here.
And if I may, I would just continue there and say, not only is his leadership based in praise and it's authoritative, but he's not trying to create enemies. He kind of gives Jesus a good name. And when people... say about him that it's not founded in science, I find that, and that religion should stay out of science, like religion should stay out of politics, these things are absolutely absurd and insulting to the divine. What is the divine supposed to do all day long without being involved with politics or with science? I mean, this is just, it's so small-minded from a religious point of view. I mean, so far, I've been pretty happy that his detractors have been pretty articulate and stupid.
And, yeah, we've talked a lot about the fact that the Global South is so strongly represented in the encyclical. And, of course, the Pope is from Argentina. Is he the first Pope who's not from Europe?
No, but the first Pope in a very long time.
Okay.
And the first from the Global South, right?
And what is interesting, Argentina... a lot of that country is very low-lying, and sea level rise is going to destroy that country. It's as bad off as Bangladesh as far as how low it is. It's not as bad as some of the Pacific Island nations, but it's rough. Now, I've talked to several Argentinians about this, and they just shrug. They're going, yep, that's what's going to happen. Like, it's inevitable, and nothing they can do. And I'm just wondering what those same people are thinking now.
It's also worth remembering that the Pope was in the Philippines during that terrible typhoon, Taklan or whatever it was called, and could not help but be impressed, horrified by the enormous damage and loss of life that happened there. So it's not theoretical, his take on it.
Well, yes, and I think that his take is experiential, matters. And, you know, speaking as a feminist, I think that there's a lot that is experiential in the way he speaks and learns, and he's really interested in touching people. He's interested in being, how shall I put it, He's interested in being real, and he's going to help, I think, a lot of Catholics understand, and a lot of Protestants and a lot of non-religious people understand that it could be simpler than we think, as opposed to more complex. You know, this is a very complex matter, everybody loves to say. Well, it's really not that complex. We're going to hell. We're sinking. We're going underwater.
I think sometimes about my neighborhood in the Flatbush and Ditmas Park in Brooklyn during Hurricane Sandy. The trees that came down in our neighborhood, and we're about as far from the water as you can get in New York. The trees that came down, the roots were like 18 feet tall. Mm. One of our neighbors was killed. Of course, he was walking his dog, but never mind. He was just hit by a tree. And it's like not underwater, just washed by the trees on our lawns. Mm. Oh, it's pretty serious. I wanted to not disagree with you, Steve, but I wanted to point out another side. It's very beautiful. The encyclical is very beautiful. But it's also quite emphatic in its condemnation of certain kinds of behaviors. And also, you know, Mary Evelyn Tucker at the Yale Forum on Religion and Ecology said, this is a game changer because the Pope is saying that climate change and environmental degradation are moral issues. Not political issues, not just economic issues, but moral issues. I mean, when one of the stupid Republican presidential candidates said the Pope should stay out of politics, and you know, the other one says he should stay out of science. The Pope is in moral issues. That's his job.
I've been so impressed with Reverend Barber from North Carolina and the Moral Mondays movement. And he's doing the same thing. He's saying these are not matters outside my purview. These are exactly matters inside my purview. And I think the Pope has changed the game. I think Reverend Barber is changing the game. And so instead of having to talk to them in their frame, now scientists and politicians are going to have to talk to the Pope in his frame. And I'm going to Paris to cover the UN for Religion Dispatches. Hooray! I'm so excited. I can't stand it. Because I think that he's going to set a moral frame. And you can, what do you get to do then? Say, well, I'm immoral or I'm amoral. People don't like to say that about themselves.
No.
They like to think that the separation of church and state is the most moral thing to do. Well, that's utilitarianism. And religions are always for something bigger than that. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to make sure that the margins are protected. And it's not practical to protect the margins. It's really not. It's impractical, so to do.
You know, when they're talking about morality and science, years and years ago on Ecology, maybe 10 years ago, I had a herpetologist on, or two herpetologists, and we're talking about how, you know, frogs and amphibians, salamanders, are not doing well. There are an awful lot of species are probably going to go extinct very soon, and several have. Because of the degradation of the environment. They absorb things through their skin, so any toxins in the water, that's it. And so I said, what I say to a lot of scientists, why should we care? And one of the scientists suddenly got incredibly passionate and said, it's not a scientific argument, it's a moral argument. And he came right out and said, on the air, God put those frogs there and we have no right to kill them. And the other herpetologist is looking at him like, whoa! And by coincidence, that herpetologist is from Argentina. And I mean, I know it's just coincidence, but I have found in interviewing scientists that you can get some wonderful moral arguments said so succinctly from scientists. One person, when she was talking about the caribou and what we're doing to them because of changing the Arctic ecosystem. So I said, why should we care? And she started giving a moral answer. I said, so that's not a scientific answer, it's a moral answer. Well, of course. We become scientists because we want to make the world a better place. So it's all morality, all of it. Mm-hmm. So these people who want to separate it are doing a bad job of life because science and morality are part of every day life for all of us. Mm-hmm. And I know there are people listening who don't understand ecologic when I have a scientist on one show and a religious person on another show. I don't find it dichotomy at all.
Of course.
I mean, both groups just have different ways of saying it, but you're saying the same stuff, protect the air and water.
If I might just speak to my own personal theology for a moment, I think, personally, I think God
God blessed me with an intelligence and wanted me to use it and didn't want me to hold back on learning as much rationally as I possibly can. Of course, whatever I learn rationally doesn't block my being a spiritual person. It's part of realizing fully my humanity the way that God would want me to be. And people who find a conflict between religion and science, I just think it's such an obtuse perspective. I don't know what to say to them.
It's a basically 18th century vision of the world. It's enlightenment. It's reason versus faith. And we can't afford that anymore. You know, we're well past that. I wanted to talk also, in addition to the concern with species that's expressed in the encyclical, is Pope Francis's concern with the indigenous people. He says that the loss of indigenous cultures is as serious a loss as of non-human species. And it's important to note that, in particular, because of his criticism, his rejection of cap and trade as the solution. I don't know if you noticed, but twice the last few days in the New York Times, the right-wing guys have been saying, oh, cap and trade is wonderful, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But of course, all of the evidence suggests that carbon offsets are harming indigenous communities more than any other group. They pay for offsets in Brazil, in Chiapas, Mexico, and then the governments, in order to get the money, run the indigenous people off the land and plant palm trees instead. And so the Pope is rejecting cap and trade for a reason, and part of it is his knowledge and concern about the indigenous communities.
One of the things that disturbed me in reading criticisms of the Pope was that one of the columnists thought of him as being pessimistic.
Catastrophic.
Well, as a pessimist, because he is telling us that we've got to do something to the earth or else we're going to be in a lot of trouble. But I never thought of it, of what the Pope was saying, as pessimistic. I thought it was just the opposite, because he's very hopeful.
Wow. Time flew by again. There is more information than time, but no worries, as you can hear the rest of the discussion on our webpage. So those of you online, go to www.ecoradio.org. After the Pope's climate encyclical, there was positive and negative reactions from cardinals. Many conservative cardinals all over the U.S. criticized it, and we don't know the views of the prospective justice.
The Pope is back in the news with his new encyclical criticizing capitalism. Let's see what the cardinals have to say this time. You can get environmental news on a variety of topics, including COVID-19, by going to www.ecoradio.org. We invite you to please sign up for our mailing list.
That's www.ecoradio.org. As you know, we have something that belongs to you. This listener-sponsored radio station is yours. Now, we need you to show your responsibility and your love for WBAI Radio and your favorite show, or at least one of them, we hope, that's Ecologic. You have choices on how you can keep us on the air. This show is an active premium. You can get a video of this entire discussion and donate to your favorite radio station by going to www.give2wbai.org. Put encyclical, that is E-N-C-Y-C-L-I-C-A-L, in the search box in the upper right corner, and for a $40 donation, get a DVD of the discussion. Or for a $65 donation, get two different DVDs on religion and environmentalism. The package includes a discussion of the Pope's encyclical and a video of four different environmentalists discussing environmental issues from a religious perspective. And we would always like to encourage each of you, our listeners, to become our buddy. Just go to www.give2wbai.org, go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Ecologic and pledge a monthly amount, any amount. Think of what this show is worth to you. You have our sincere thanks.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.